The lesson on this Ascension Sunday comes to us from Luke's recounting of that story as it occurs in his book of Luke. He also writes of it again in the book of Acts. Reading today from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53, listen for the word of God. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms might be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. May God bless this reading to our understanding and our living. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we enter into the embrace of your life even more deeply and gain the perspective of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a time and world which is really famous for its lack of perspective. Things are speeding up, communications are getting quicker, news is instantaneous and multifold. And we are encouraged to act out of our feelings and to tap into our own resources and understanding to respond to the events of our lives. And sometimes, quite often in fact, that can be a disaster. When you live life without a pause for perspective, you live life without that quality we call wisdom, and without that opportunity that we call hope. Jesus tells his disciples to remain in Jerusalem until they have been clothed with power from on high. It's the word of Ascension Sunday. Don't act before you have been clothed with the love of God, before you have been filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, who calls you to see the world and one another in an entirely different way, who allows you to see the world and one another in the embrace, the hope, and the perspective of God's eternal life and love. Now, the scene of the story that we just read from Luke takes place at the end in the village of Bethany, and it's on the Mount of Olives. It's It's always good to remember that from the Mount of Olives, you actually look down on Jerusalem. We think of Mount Zion as a mountain, but in fact, it's below the Mount of Olives, which Jerusalem is kind of surrounded by higher mountains. Here's a picture I took from the Mount of Olives, looking down on the Temple Mount and the Dome of the Rock. And Bethany was just a little ways away from there. And at Bethany, there is a chapel dedicated to the Ascension. You can see Mount of Olives Chapel of the Ascension, and what you see there on the left of that picture is a minaret for a mosque. You walk through the gate, and there is a wall around this chapel, or edicule. You remember I used that word edicule on Easter Sunday, looking at the little shrine, is what it means, that covers the tomb of Jesus. This covers something else. There it is again with the minaret in the background. The history of this little chapel is a storied one. It was first created in the 4th century, sometime around 340s. And it was built, and Christian pilgrims began to go there, and in the ups and downs of the Middle East, it was taken over eventually in the year 644 by Islam, and they turned it into a mosque. Remember that Jesus is a very important person in Islam. They believe that he is the Messiah. They believe he is born of a virgin. They believe he was ascended into heaven. They just don't believe he was crucified. Well, it became a mosque, and they made some alterations to the chapel. But eventually, the caliph noticed that more Christians went to that place than did Muslims. And so he built a wall as an act of generosity toward the Christians between the mosque and this site of the Ascension. And that's where we were on that day in Bethany. And within this, and it is tiny, eight-sided chapel, at the center of it is a stone in a frame, and you see votive candles there, a little offering plate there. And on that stone, they say there is Jesus' last footprint on earth. It was that place, from that place, that he ascended into heaven. There's a little more close up, and you can try and make out the footprint. There's a couple of possibilities there. That's actually his right foot. The left footprint was taken and placed in the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Rock, or in the Temple Mount. There, somewhere in the center of that stone, is the impression, according to tradition, of Jesus' right footprint. Now, it's interesting if you see artistic renditions of the Ascension. Can you see in the very center of the picture the footprints? Here's another famous one by Albrecht Dürer. Change that again so you can. There again, the footprints. I think it's very important on this Ascension Sunday when we remember that Jesus just didn't hang around after the resurrection. He ascended into heaven, and what that means, it's metaphorical language, but it at least means that he reigns with God in that dimension we call heaven, which is as close as love. But Christians want to make sure that we remember he walked on this earth. That we don't lose sight of the fact that this creation is the place of his ministry and our ministry. And we are to sink our feet deeply and walk upon this earth in the love that he shared with us. That his life and love really happened. They are historical events, and our love and life is to really happen and be history
and make a future in this world and time. But this day of ascension gives us another dimension to that ministry. It allows us to step back and see it from the perspective of patience and hope. One of the interesting things that Muslims did when they took over this little shrine was to put a dome on it. The Christians, maybe knowing the story better, when they built that eight-sided chapel, put no roof on it, because that was the place where Jesus ascended into heaven. And I think in some ways this dome, you can see the strong bricks there, artfully arranged, but it represents in some ways the way we are in contemporary times. We live in a flattened world. We don't have that dimension of seeing the world and our lives in a larger view, a view which gives us patience for the here and now and gives us a horizon so we can also take the long view of things and be patient. We know what happened on Monday in Manchester. It is a sign of our inhumanity to one another and many religions and many lack of religions. Many atheisms have engaged in this kind of inhumanity through the millennia. And of course, after this event, there were many impatient responses. The social media was immediately filled with hate messages about Islam and threats against anyone who would perpetrate such an act. One can understand that knee-jerk gut reaction, but it isn't a healthy one. It isn't a patient one. When some terror like this arrives in our world, it's good to wait until you are clothed with power from on high before you act. And this is just as true when something happens in your life. An event of betrayal, an event of trauma, an event which takes the ground away from under your feet. Before you react, before you determine who you are or what you will do, pause for a moment and be clothed with power from on high. Let the eternal love of God fill you that you might know your value, your dignity, your place, and the action that will bring about healing and hope in your world. And it was beautiful to see that happen in Manchester. Of course, the day after this event, the hate crimes in Manchester doubled. Normally there are 28 on an ordinary day. There were 56 the next day. Sad that there are 28 on an ordinary day. But acts of love multiplied astronomically. I love this group of Muslims who gathered in Albert Square before the town hall with this sign, "Love for all, hatred for none." It was a beautiful statement of faith. And I could see the Holy Spirit working in their lives. These signs were prevalent: peace and love, Manchester. The people who gathered, this was less than 24 hours after 22 children of Manchester, and I use that word broadly because it also included an 8-year-old girl, Sophie, but it included many adults who are also children of God and our sisters and brothers. Less than 24 hours after 22 were killed in a heinous crime, 59 grievously injured, They gathered in the square in Manchester not to shout cries of hate, but to shout cries for love. That hate had no place there. They gathered by their thousands. It's beautiful to see when people pause for a moment and are clothed with power from on high before they act. And I pray, and we will pray today for the people of Manchester, for all the people of the world, and for you in your individual lives when a crisis happens, that you'll remember the one who has ascended into heaven and reigns on high, so that these momentary acts of hatred do not shape and color and determine our lives, but they are determined by the one who lived and died and rose and ascended for us, that we might, in the moments of our lives and in the long view of our lives, have the patience of love. And I'll let the Bishop of Manchester, David Walker, say that for us. But first, a moment to speak of the taxis of Manchester. That night was going to be a big night for them, an Ariana Grande concert. The place was packed. You know, Uber has something they call surge pricing. Taxis don't necessarily do that, but they knew they were going to be busy that night. And as they drove by the arena, they saw crowds pouring out, and they knew instantly something was wrong. This is Saif Ismail. He's a Muslim taxi driver, as many of them are. If you've driven had a taxi ride in Toronto, you know many of our taxi drivers are also Muslim. And being Muslim, they could have easily been afraid for themselves, because it was very quick when word got out that a terrorist had exploded himself in a suicide bomb, and there were people on social media out for blood. They could have run and hidden. They could also have used surge pricing. But what did they do? They offered free taxi rides. And they all descended upon the arena, putting up signs. They turned off their meters. Anyone who needs a ride, a child or an adult, is free to come. Saif made three trips that night, carrying 27 people in his taxi van, jammed it full, took them to hospitals or took them home. They all did that. They paused for a moment, they gathered their wits and said, "Now is time to care." It's wonderful when you wait and are clothed with power from above. And so, Bishop David Walker.
We will pull through the events of last night because we will stand together. Stand together, whatever our background, whatever our religion, whatever our beliefs or our politics, we will stand together to say that this city is greater than the forces that align itself against it. And as we say that, we're sending a signal, not just to Manchester, but across the world, that you cannot defeat us, because love, in the end, is always stronger than hate.
They have sent that signal to us. On this Ascension Day, Jesus Christ sends that signal to us, that love is stronger than hate. And so pause, receive that power, and go into the world. Amen.